broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kurt Crosby, live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use continues. This is a freedom-loving, fantastic, we're taking America back, one heart, one mind, one issue at a time Friday. It's also February the 20th in the year of our Lord, 2015, hour 202. And our goal remains the same, to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country in the traditions of our founders. We use the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America, as our guide. And our goal always, ladies and gentlemen, is to use the checks and balances inspired by the Almighty, put in place by the founders, a brilliant move to restore the Republic. We need a great restoration of the principles that made America great. We don't need a revolution. We need a restoration. And pure application of the principles that made America great can do so again. The question is, are you educated enough to help that happen? Are you willing to get involved in making sure that is the case for our children? Kurt Crosby's with me. Welcome to the broadcast, sir.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam.
You're very welcome, my friend. It looks like everybody wants to be like Reagan. And I think it's bogus. They say, Jeb Bush, a Reaganite? This is Newsmax. Oh, yes. Yes, he is. On Christy Turf, Walker compares himself to Reagan. Even Ron Paul back in the day tried to pretend he was like a Reagan. Well, I kid you not. Everybody wants to be like Reagan, and I think it's a historical, what do you say, snafu, Kurt?
Well, one of the things they might do, Sam, is, you know, you brought up the fact that Reagan was a Democrat, and then he went to being a Republican.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be cool if one of them said, hey, man, you know, like Reagan, I'm going to basically just jettison party. I call
Reagan
for all Americans to jettison. Well, I mean, at least they could say he went from one to the other, you know. And, you know, then they could say, well, his real evolution would have been one day to just basically be of no party. And wouldn't that be a refreshing thing, to eliminate political parties in America?
To reject parties in America would be a wonderful thing, but I'd have to say somebody would be a George Washington in that case, not a Ronald Reagan. So anyway, it's a historical discussion we're having, ladies and gentlemen, and I don't mean to be rude, and I'm not trying to throw Reagan under the bus, because I want to give credit where credit's due when good's done, and I want to reject bad and support good wherever it's found. I want to make popular that which is good and unpopular that which is bad. What I don't want to do, though, is have this perverted historical record where we basically lie and manipulate the truth and make somebody bigger than life that doesn't deserve it, and where we give people credit where credit isn't due, because it isn't what they did and what they stand for and what they believe in or anything of the sort. Scott Bradley, he happens to have a PhD in politics and everything else. He's a very educated gentleman. Topreservethenation.com is his website. Scott Bradley, welcome back to Liberty Roundtable, sir.
Well, thank you for having us again. Always good to talk to you, gentlemen. You know, I'm making sure that you're up and at 'em just before
Roger
the weekend,
that.
Right?
Yeah, and what if I were to say to you that I think Scott Bradley is just like Reagan?
Oh, I would. First of all, I thought we were better friends than that, and I hope there's not that connection. Other than, you know,
there's not. I was being facetious to drill home the point, though, right?
But honestly, Reagan was a great communicator. He had a way of kind of stirring in the people's hearts the feeling of you know, of patriotism and Americanism and stuff like that. His actions didn't always really fulfill that.
Yeah, let me give you a little quick soundbite, Kenneth, to prove your point, okay?
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem.
Great communicator, he's right.
He really was a great communicator, and he really did kind of have Americans feel good about America in so many ways. He really knew how to, I mean, he was a radio guy long before he became a politician. You know that, Sam.
Yes, sir.
So anyway, he learned how to, you know, it was that gift of gab or whatever. I don't know what it is that, you know, all the radio guys have. But the fact of the matter is, he pulled some real boo-boos, at the very least, if you want to call him a boo-boo. I mean, like, for example, the Amnesty Act of 1986, he should have vetoed that thing, and we wouldn't have the problem we have today. I mean, it was one of those things. Now, by the way, his signing statement he gave during that, when he was signing it, there was some sound bites I can snap out of there, and and say, okay, now let's apply these today. I mean, you know, he talks about the pricelessness of American citizenship and so on. They're wonderful things, but he signed it.
And well, hold on. Let's just be very clear. Barack Obama and Ronald Reagan were virtually on the same side of granting amnesty and basically backing illegal behavior. They had a different way of going about it. One signed legislation. The other one did it by fiat or executive order or, well, claiming executive order, but yet there's not really an executive order even on the books, so it's virtually by fiat. But really, both of them did the same thing, right?
Well, that's very true. The Congress was complicit on the thing that Reagan did. I mean, Congress passed him a bill, sent it on to him, and there's the way the story spun is that they had to convince him to sign it, but the fact is he still did. I mean, so you know, and I'll give an antithesis in terms of the verbal skills. Calvin Coolidge was, you know, Silent Cal. That's what most people knew him as. He was kind of reticent to say anything, you know. And I would probably rank him the best president of the 20th century. Wasn't perfect. Don't anybody walk away from this thing that I think everything he did was sound and wonderful doctrine, but I truly believe that Calvin Coolidge was far better than any of the 20th century presidents, and it was the president.
Including Reagan.
He's in the 20th century, wasn't he?
So, I'm just making it very clear.
So, yeah, absolutely. Calvin Coolidge didn't say much, and a lot of people say he didn't do much. Now, he did do some things wrong. I want to reiterate that again. There were some things that he overstepped the bounds of the president. They were far more rare than any of the other people that have been in there during the 20th century. And it's interesting, when he was informed that he was going to become the president because of the death of, I mean, he was vice president, you know, and then we had him being informed that he was kind of being put in there by death, the first thing he did is he got on his knees. He went before God and he pled with him to help with this assignment, because it was a heavy burden to him. Nowadays, people get into that office, they spent $1 billion getting in, and there's a bunch of parties and hoopla and everything else like that.
Well, they kind of hang out with Mono Linsky, or else they put a fraudulent birth certificate on the wall. Doesn't matter which, huh?
Or a fraudulent Social Security number. I don't know what Social Security number our president's currently using, but the fact of the matter is, it's a far different cry than the humility that Coolidge had. Now, again, you probably didn't want to run down the road with Calvin Coolidge today, but honestly, the Silent Cal reluctance to yammer on everything, he let the country heal. And when there were people that wanted government intervention on this and that and the other, and they'd clamor at him, what an idiot you are for not stepping up and intervening in this and that and the other. The economy needs your involvement and yada, yada, yada. And you know, he had this great faith that the system worked.
All right, now let's reiterate the economy and come back and talk about Reagan and the economy. Okay, Reagan did not take on the Federal Reserve at all.
No.
Reagan basically, under his tutelage, he had this trickle-down economics idea, which, you know, lowering taxes gives government a bigger piece, or I should say a smaller piece of a bigger pie. More money goes in the hands of government. Well, who in their right mind wants more money in the hands of government, number one? But number two, though, it all depends on what we're talking about. If you're going to back free trade agreements and get rid of tariffs at the border, but yet put direct taxes on the American people that go up and up and up and up, I'm not so sure that that fulfills the it sounded great, but I'm not so sure that it fulfills it in economic practice. Interest rates went sky high under Reagan too, right?
Well, here's there's a
I think that was Carter.
With this trying to measure money with government revenues. I mean, in our home state, for example, in Utah, there's this big band out there marching down the street right now. I mean, figuratively speaking, okay? Where the state has a whole gob more money to spend this year than they've had in previous years. And, oh, what a wonderful, doesn't it show how great things are in the state? And it's like, if you're measuring things based on government revenues, we're using the whole wrong scale. I mean, this thing should be something that government is not to be, you know, growing and blossoming and everything, and they're writing more checks to everybody. Let's look at what's really happening for the people. And they say, oh, well, that translates to the fact that the people are more prosperous, so they can spend more taxes. Well, maybe and maybe not. But the fact of the matter is, well, I'll give you an example. I had a job for many years and worked very closely with internationally renowned professors. That was one individual I was walking across campus with one day, and this is a business professor that should have known a lot of things. And there were these, they use those big cranes that they build up, and they use them to swing around all our materials as they're building these big high-rise buildings. And there were several of those on campus. There was some downtown and everything like that. And he says to me, "Boy, Scott," he says, "isn't it a prosperous time? Well, look at all this construction." And I said to him, John, where's this money coming from? And he thought, and he says, "Well, it's taxpayers." And I said, "Exactly. The only growth is in the revenue that the government has to spend on other things."
Hang tight, ladies and gentlemen. Dr. Scott Bradley in the house to preservethenation.com on your radio.
Break the bond of Big Pharma. Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour to tell you about the powerful benefits of Strauss Heart Drops. Many people today are locked into the routine of taking multiple prescription drugs. Strauss Herb Company believes that everything the body needs is provided by nature. Strauss Heart Drops may clear congested arteries, restore damaged muscle, maintain healthy cholesterol levels, and flush toxins and metals from the body. They may even be helpful in treating varicose veins. And unlike prescription drugs that are packed with chemicals, Strauss Heart Drops are 100% natural and harness the healing power of herbs like garlic, cayenne, white willow bark, and mistletoe. For the full line of Strauss products, I urge you to call the Power Hour at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829, or visit thepowermall.com. And remember, beware of knockoffs. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops.
So just who will you meet at the Get Prepared Expo? For starters, John Moore, John Stadtmiller, Sam Bushman, Kurt Crosby, Aaron Dakins, Brad Dakins, and me, Vincent Finelli. Joining us, just to name a few, are the senior instructors, medical doctor Norman Shuley, engineer Matt Stein, the real Fox Mulder of the X-Files, physicist Dr. Richard Allen Miller, author Captain John Reagan, counter-terrorist Mike Ma, author Rich Sheban, and the CSPOA founder, Sheriff Richard Mack. You'll learn how water wells work, how to buy gold and silver quietly, discreetly, and privately. Learn the importance of good health and how to care for your loved ones. Learn alternative medicines, overcoming anxiety, stress, high blood pressure, and alternative cancer treatments. You'll have access to more doctors, more authors, more talk show hosts than any event we know of. The Get Prepared Expo, the last weekend in March, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, the 27th, 28th, and 29th. GetPreparedExpo.com. That's GetPreparedExpo.com.
When camping overnight, your tent is one of the most important items you'll have with you. That's why it's vital to have a quality tent that is easy to carry and will withstand the elements. Teton Sports offers top quality tents for any of your camping needs. The Outfitter XXL cot tent weighs only 4 pounds, but provides plenty of space for a comfortable night's sleep. Teton Sports also has a 6-man tent, which weighs only 14 pounds for camping overnight with friends and family. Each tent is easy to assemble and is easily transportable, and each is made with 1,200-millimeter coated polyester, providing strong and durable protection from weather and cold. Teton Sports also offers sleeping bags, backpacks, duffels, and more to ensure a quality outdoor experience. Wherever your outdoor adventures take you, you will be safe and comfortable in a quality tent from Teton Sports. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman's Warehouse, Dick's Sporting Goods, Wholesale Sports, or visit TetonSports.com.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Dr. Scott Bradley with us. I don't want to spend too much more time on Reagan, but it was an interesting discussion. I think people put Reagan up on this pedestal that I don't think historically is justified or deserved. And whenever I see a politician do it, it tells me they lack understanding of historical context and reality. No doubt, interest rates were very high under Carter as well. Kurt's right about that. And interest rates started to reduce under Reagan somewhat, except it's a very distorted picture. Because you got to talk about real interest rates versus what you kind of hear or see. And they say President Obama, the biggest government spender in world history. Now, that's what the headline says in this Forbes article that I got right here. And it compares Reagan economics to Barack economics, Scott Bradley.
Well, we don't all remember, but the fact of the matter is there was profligate government spending under Reagan, too. I mean,
huge government deficits as well. So if I increase the deficit, but I mock the interest rate by the Federal Reserve manipulation, I can change the interest rate but really call it a deficit in the long run and pretend it's lower than it really is, right?
Oh, yeah. It's all the numbers are cooked in everything that happens in the government. I mean, anybody that believes the government reports about anything from inflation to unemployment, I mean, to anything. I mean, every one of those things in my mind are suspect. And people say, well, you're so cynical on this thing. Well, when the truth finally does come out, I think people are going to be shocked at the spin that's put on everything to kind of use for political fodder on whoever's spinning it has their own agenda, you know. And I feel really pretty bad that we're so gullible. And there's a growing number of Americans that are skeptical, but there's still a lot of people that just kind of are like bobbleheads. They nod their head any time they get anything from the government. That's as good as it gets, you know. So, I mean, I talk to many people about the FDA approval of drugs and their procedures and everything. I think, good grief, people. I mean, whose pocket is the FDA in? The big pharma people, they're trading. It's incestuous. Who sits on the FDA shortly sits on the big pharma, and who sits on big pharma's lead boards sits on the FDA. These guys are kind of feathering each other's nests all the time. And then you get these, I don't know how anybody takes some of these drugs that you hear advertised on TV. You know, it says, it's going to make you wonderfully happy and everything. And everybody's smiling on the screen, and then you hear on the voiceover that's underneath everything, you start hearing you're going to get suicidal talks, probably to kill your spouse. You might even drown your kids, and you're going to get heart attack, stroke, and kidney failure. It's like, why would you take this stuff? But you know, the FDA approved it, so it must be okay. You know, who believes these guys? Apparently, a lot of people do. You know.
Yeah, and with Reagan, to me, it's a lot of not so much many times of what he did do, but what he didn't do. He didn't take on the Federal Reserve. He didn't take on the IRS. He didn't reduce the national deficit or debt. And he didn't get rid of the Education Department. And while he was president, there was a lot of shenanigans going on. As far as I understand, we had a big old drug-running, gun-running government scandal, right?
That's true, and I wished I knew the whole truth on that, to tell you the truth.
Oh, you're not going to know the truth, sir.
Yeah, the black ops kind of stuff that, you know, they seem to somehow figure out a way to finance some of these things, and there's strong evidence that it's probably running stuff that if you were doing it on the American streets, you'd get 5 years to life. But these guys are doing it as part of the government. It's astounding to me. Just astounding.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. Anyway, my goal's not to attack Reagan. Okay, because I do think he did some good things. My problem is when you put him up as a poster child of epic proportions to where everybody wants to be like Reagan, I don't think that's historically accurate. And then what we want to do is just mold George Washington Day or birthday into President's Day. Look, if we want a real economic policy and we really want to reject, well, this is one thing Reagan didn't do either. He didn't avoid foreign entanglements like the plague either. What about a Ronald Reagan foreign policy, huh? Compare that to a George Washington foreign policy, and they're on different planets, ladies and gentlemen. Now, George Washington, though, in my humble opinion, would be the one that I would want to become like rather than a Ronald Reagan. What do you think, Scott?
Well, absolutely, but that's part of the whole effort to subvert this original intent, the idea of the founding principles. I'm just astounded. There's even a movement to say that we don't need to study history in America before 1900. Well, that's kind of the beginning. Well, not the absolute beginning, but it's when progressivism really started taking a major part of American government. And you stop and think, well, if you don't study those that aren't able to, you know, really understand or review history are doomed to repeat it. And that's kind of where we are today. And we've subverted, you know, the Washington birthday thing. Good grief. I mean, it used to be that, you know, you studied his farewell address in school. They completely removed it for a long time, and then they brought it back with, you know, the expunged or incised out or whatever you want to call it, the religious overtones. And so, I mean, you really have to kind of go out of your way to go back and think that stuff, for example, the farewell address, very sound doctrine. I say to people, if there were a few things that every politician did every morning before they went to work, if they said their morning prayers, they read their scriptures, they read the Constitution, and they read the George Washington farewell address, this nation would be far better off because some of those principles might begin to stick to the people that are actually creating law in this nation.
Well, and that's kind of what I want to focus on is I don't like ignoring our founders and then acting like Reagan or Clinton, depending on which side of the aisle you come from or whatever, is the answer. You know, look, if we were to return to the Reagan days tomorrow, would it be great? I don't think so. I think there'd be some good things, but I don't think we'd have any real game changers, Scott.
No, I think that you'd probably have a little bit more national pride, if you will, and sometimes there's an element in that that's wrong because you end up being so, it becomes such a thing that you're willing to overthrow the good and noble things because of pride.
It's almost like you say, well, golly, we're so happy with what we've got that we're not going to take on the real issues that could sow the seeds of destruction.
Yeah.
And that's kind of my problem with it is that I'm not trying to down Reagan. Now, he also took Bush as a VP, which was a huge mistake, right?
Well, my belief is that he was compelled to take Bush because...
Well, he could have said, I'm not going to run for president if you guys are going to pervert my candidacy, and I'm going to go to the mainstream press and tell the tale of liberty, and if you kill me, you kill me. In other words, he could have come clean and told the tale and wasn't forced, right?
But you're absolutely correct, and I think sometimes we need to take that faithful position and move forward and trust that God will receive your soul if you get taken, and if not, you might do some good. But George Bush, oh my gracious, the consummate insider's insider. Every single secret kind of organization that you can think of he was involved in, his involvement with the United Nations, his involvement with the CIA. I mean, good grief, this guy was the insider's insider, and it's a dynasty going on with his family, his kids.
I hear that.
Now they're looking at another one of his kids.
Yeah, like what if Rand Paul took Jeb Bush as his running mate? It'd be kind of like that, you know? All right, Ron Paul, and I want to move to a couple of different topics here. I got a bunch of stories to cover. Ron Paul predicts that we're going to have a de facto secession movement. And he says that states are eventually going to simply refuse to listen to law and that what you're going to end up is a de facto recession a de facto secession movement. Kurt, you want to come in on the story real quick?
I know that when you talk about secession, it's some folks are feeling like you're, anti-American, et cetera. Personally have feelings that more and more it's just a simple part of the American system that the states that created the federal government certainly have the right to continue with that association, but they also have the right to change that.
Yeah, and Tom Woods basically has a whole presentation that says this. Tom Woods, secession, the reasonable option, everyone resists. When we get back, I want the professor's take, Kurt. Scott Bradley in the house, topreservethenation.com. We'll talk about it in seconds on your radio.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Has your dancing and romancing done gone away? Are you moaning and a-groaning from the stresses of the day? Are you reeling and appealing because a headache's on the way? Well, relax for just a moment. Stress relief is on the way. Of what am I speaking, you ask? The essential oils of long historic use, the wisdom of the ages, the health care of the ancients, frankincense, myrrh, hyssop, and hundreds of others too numerous to mention. What could be more appealing? Do you know that Young Living essential oils is an element of life that makes them extremely effective in body rejuvenation? This element is called vibration, and it works with body systems, not against them. The professionals at Divine Living Oils have tested and been so impressed with this product that we are using them to help others. And who are we? We are health professionals with many years' experience. Trust us, we have seen the good, the bad, and the ugly. Our motto? Because we care about you. Do your health and spirit a great favor. Call us at 304-542-4226. That's 304-542-4226. Again, that's 304-542-4226.
Many of you have heard me talk about my Vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is all this Vigor stuff about? Well, Vigor is defined as zest for life, your strength in body and mind, your energy levels. It's kind of all wrapped into a term called Vigor. Would you like to improve your Vigor score? Well, you got to first take the free test. Get a hold of Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or call Kurt Cosby at 801-669-2211. I took the test, got a 13 out of 32. Horrible, huh? But I worked on it with Kurt with some natural help and healing, and before you know it, now I've got an astounding 29 out of 32 on the Vigor score. Can you tell by the way I talk? Oh, yes, my zest for life has never been better. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. That's 801-669-2211. And take your free Vigor test today, and you can learn where you stand. And then you can work on improving it and take the test again. And, oh, compare the results. You will be delighted. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or 801-669-2211 for your free Vigor score test today.
We fought. We learned. We struggled.
We won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
This half hour is brought to you by TetonSports.com. When you want indoor comfort outdoors when you're camping, do it right with Teton Sports gear. TetonSports.com. All right, Scott Bradley in the house. Scott Bradley. So Ron Paul is saying, hey, man, we're going to have a de facto secession movement going on because states are just going to flat out ignore the feds. And they're going to refuse to listen to, quote, law from the feds. Tom Woods has a whole presentation that says secession, the reasonable option that everyone resists. Your comments, Scott?
Well, I tell you, I wish we had 2 hours to talk about this because we could document the founders' position on these things to the nth degree. And there was a definite understanding at the beginning of this nation, the scope and bounds of government and all this stuff about submitting to the national government, et cetera, et cetera. We could talk about the Supremacy Clause, not because it is only in their jurisdiction. We could talk about what really I think Ron Paul, I mean, I hope he's going this direction because I don't want the United States to dissolve, but what he's really talking about is nullification. And nullification truly is a constitutional solution as well.
Yeah, but let me stop you, though. Nullification and secession are quite different.
They are quite different. In fact, it prevents secession if you have nullification. Now, there are people that say, oh, James Madison was against nullification. I'll tell you, people that say that are ignorant. And I don't mean it in the term of people that are rude to people. I mean they are unknowing. They don't understand the concept of nullification. James Madison wrote against nullification in the issue of the tariff with South Carolina.
But hold on, let's be very clear. Tariffs are specifically defined in the Constitution, though. That's why.
That's absolutely true. Here's the deal. You've got to have something that's unconstitutional as being usurped and imposed upon the people in order to nullify. And South Carolina attempted to nullify a tariff that had been put on by the United States Congress. The United States Congress specifically has power to establish tariffs. James Madison, wisely and in concurrence with guys like Jefferson that had previously written on this, said, you know, you can't do this.
Let's be clear. It wasn't that you couldn't nullify. It was that you cannot nullify authority that was specifically enumerated in the supreme law. That's the point.
Okay, here's what Jefferson said. He said, in the cases of an abuse of the delegated powers, meaning this was granted to you in the Constitution, the members of the general government being chosen by the people, a change by the people would be the constitutional remedy. So what do you do if they abuse delegated powers? Vote the abusers out of power. But here's what he said about undelegated powers when that was usurped. He said, but where powers are assumed which have not been delegated, a nullification of the act is the rightful remedy, that every state has a natural right in cases not within the compact being the contract, the Constitution, to nullify of their own authority all assumptions of power by others within their limits, that without this right they would be under the domination, absolute and unlimited, of whosoever might exercise this right of judgment, exercise this right of judgment for them. So what he's saying, in the case of undelegated powers, this nullification, state nullification of the usurpation has to happen.
Is a must. Now, let's be very clear. Then I got to move to a quick caller and some other stories, too. So do you support nullification, Scott Bradley?
Absolutely. In the definition that was established as the nation was founded.
Agreed. Do you support secession?
I do not. Well, okay. Let me temper that a little bit. This was a voluntary bringing together of states. I believe that there's no compulsion. Now, the Civil War would say otherwise, but I believe that when we have things enforced by the point of bayonet, we no longer are free. And so people could leave if they wish to. I do not wish the states to break up. I want the people to apply.
In other words, what you're saying is, based on the Declaration of Independence, we realize that our rights and our sovereignty and our guidance comes from God, and if we have the right to put a government together, we certainly have the authority and right to dissolve it. That's a fundamental reality. However, you're merely submitting that the supreme law of the land does not provide for secession, and the remedies are within the system, which means nullification, and the checks and balances wisely put in place by the founders. And so you don't support that, even though you know that it's physically an option.
It's a voluntary association, and it could come apart. I think it would be a mistake, but it could technically come apart. I think we have the solutions if the people would wisely go about it. There are people that are death on nullification, and I believe there's two thrusts to that. One would be that they would create a crisis of a constitution convention. That's what they're looking for. Or they would create a crisis of splitting the country as states actually attempt to break off and create other nations. And so either way, they get an emergency status that literally and truthfully would bring the big hammer of big government down on the heads of whoever took those actions. There is a gentle, loving way to do this through nullification, and literally Jefferson speaks of it as being an act of love to try and retain the beauty of this nation that we have if you nullify. But the people that speak against it, I don't know if they're ignorantly encouraging this big crisis mode that we're going to go into, but they will bring about a crisis, and there are those that would desire that, so that they could bring the F-16s in on you standing there with your M-16. If
all right.
Okay.
Ed, you're on the radio. Kentucky. Hi, sir. Be quick.
How you doing, gentlemen?
Excellent. Go ahead.
To you. You
talk quieter, though.
Reagan. You talked about Reagan?
Yes.
You want to know about his history. Look into his wife. His wife molded him into politics. His wife molded him into the presidency. His wife molded his. She hired everybody that was around him. She did all that. She was the one that also changed the U.S. Marshals decree to where they cannot fully do their jobs anymore. That was because of her and him during the hostage weapons situation. Because they knew that a U.S. Marshal could march in, arrest everybody for treason, and go after the bad guys, no matter where they were. Because the U.S. Marshal's creed originally was a United States police officer. You commit a crime on this continent against anybody on this continent, they went after you. And they had full authority. That's why they changed their decree. She was the one that did all this to him. She was the one that molded him. She wasn't so nice and preppy and innocent as the people think. She manipulated him into politics.
Well, you're right. And Nancy was a whole lot more liberal as well, if you really study the record as well. Scott, do you want to respond to that?
Well, you know, sometimes for better or worse, we have the wife we do, and Ed's probably right. She was probably...
Thanks for the call, Ed. He's right.
...wasn't positive on him.
Right. I agree. That's true, and I think she had a big... The first ladies oftentimes have a serious influence beyond... Just look at Hillary, if you want to make the point. I mean, he's right. And so, there you go. All right, Kurt, do you want to comment on the secession idea?
Well, I just got to come down on the side of freedom, and even if I would prefer, you know, I would prefer an America under, you know, God, family, country, all that stuff, and that we live the principles of the Constitution, but, you know, we don't have that right now, and I think we have a number of states that are basically... if not completely communist and socialist, are, you know, very close. And they, I maybe they'd just be happy by themselves. I know
there's no doubt they become kingdoms unto themselves, right?
Yeah, there's a few, you know, states that in my opinion are almost completely opposite, and they would kind of like to let those other communist and socialist states go go off by themselves.
And I wanted to let Scott Bradley speak out on this and then Kurt Crosby speak out before I make my claims. I'm not trying to taint anybody's view or create an argument on this topic or whatever. I'm convinced that, yes, based on the Declaration of Independence, we certainly have the authority to dissolve the bands that tie us to a government if that government has become tyrannical or not fulfilling its role satisfactorily. But we must not throw off such governments for light and what do they call it, in transient purposes. All right, or transient purposes. Okay, and I agree with that idea, and I simply am submitting to you that even though we may have the authority for secession, it didn't go well. A bunch of people died in the last attempt, and it was not successful. And then you would say, somebody would say, well, that just proves how tyrannical the feds are. I don't disagree with that. However, I would submit to you that there are better remedies than secession. And I would submit to you that the checks and balances put in place by our founders are one of them. Look, as long as you have the federal government creating fake money, and as long as you have the states then taking that fake money to balance their budgets, you've got a situation that'll never create independence at all. Why can't we, instead of going nuclear and having secession, can't we get rid of the Federal Reserve? It's easier than seceding, I can promise you that. Most states aren't even prepared to secede even if they tried. Why don't we get rid of the education department? Why don't we get the states off the federal dole? Why don't we? There's a lot of things we could do. But when the people don't even vote, that tells the tale. But when we get back, we'll talk about the Constitution Party and about voting in seconds.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages, American Heritage School in American Fork.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com, participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
So I agree we have the authority for secession. I just don't think it's an appropriate remedy. I think it'll, in fact, it'll make things much, much worse. We might end up as factions in America with wars between the states. Many states are landlocked and wouldn't have the ability to trade. The federal government could say, you know what, if you are going to secede, we're going to be hostile against you. Any state that doesn't secede, we're going to protect. And any state that does, we declare war on. The list just goes on and on and on of the negative repercussions of such an action. In other words, rather than looking towards abolishing the supreme law of the land, why don't we look at returning to or restoring the supreme law of the land? Now, a lot of people would say, Sam, it doesn't work. And my response is, I can't buy that. It works when you use it. And when you only have 50 patriots fighting for freedom, no doubt we're losing freedom. But look, most folks don't even vote in America today. When you look at the how many adults there are in America, then registered voters, then how many vote, then divided up between the Republican and Democratic parties, and then how many ever vote in whatever third party that's disenfranchised from the get-go, you end up with a very, very ineffective system that divides and conquers and divides and divides and divides and divides. We could have basically removed all 435 members of the House last go around. We didn't even come close. How many of them did we even change the guard on? 50? I don't know the number. I'd have to look it up, but I'm telling you, a small percentage. We're not having our will felt. We're not standing up for freedom. We're not, okay? So there's so many things we could do, but not when nobody's engaged in liberty. And the founders said you have a republic if you can keep it. They clearly said, look, you got to be anxiously engaged in a good cause. You got to be a moral people. And you got to stand on right. Well, 80-plus million bucks just went to 50 Shades of Grey movies over a weekend. $80 million for perverted sex videos or movies. And then if I try to raise $5 for liberty, man, I can't even... I can't even find a jar to put the pennies
you've
that people don't give
before.
Me in. Well, Kurt's right. I've raised five before. He misses the whole point, though. The whole point is it's so lopsided it's beyond description, Scott.
Well, you're right.
Yeah, I missed
it. Remember, one of the reasons, I mean, one of the symptoms, at least, that was kind of endemic in this whole thing is when Rome lost its republic, it was for a lot of things. There was a lot of perverse things that were happening, and part of it was that the people were distracted from maintaining their liberty. I mean, the bread and circuses concept, and we certainly have that, whether you're talking about, and this will gore a lot of people's ox, the idea of this Super Bowl thing that happened. I mean, tickets were going for, I think the cheapest somebody told me that they found tickets was $6,000 each. I mean, we're talking $40,000 tickets sometimes, if you could find them. We are absurdly obsessed with that which matters least in our lives. And it's we really are entering, maybe we're well into it. I mean, I think, actually, as I think about it, we're well immersed in our Roman decline era, whether it's the immorality that happens in entertainment and in private lives, as well as the diversions in circuses that we have, whether they're Super Bowls or NBA championships, or even college football and soccer, and in your local. Think about this: we spend all our time on the stuff that matters least. And I'm not saying you got to be these pious monks running around that don't do anything except for pray all day long, but I'm saying we got to get engaged in preserving the cause of liberty, and we will lose it as a general people. I hope that there's some faithful ones that we'll be able to, you know, somehow gather with that will preserve it. But honestly, we've got to change our focus. This nation is the greatest, freest, strongest, most happy, most prosperous, most respected nation on earth, and has been, well, it was for about a century and a half.
But let's be very clear, the country that can't get out, the members of a country that can't get out and vote, that won't abolish fiat fake money, that won't change the guard when things aren't going right, that won't demand the end of parties, that won't, okay, you think they're going to create, like, say, Utah to be its own country or to secede and have no constitutional guidelines or no, quote, constitutional protections? In other words, the seeds for solutions. Okay, you think we're going to do better with that guard or that plan in place?
I think that our leaders today pander, and that's basically how we elect them, is by what they're offering of largesse out of the government trough to us is going to do it. We've got to change that mentality. We are not going to be better off in a smaller group, whether it's Montana or Utah or Arizona or wherever you're talking about seceding. It's not going to happen. We have the leaders we have. We've got to change them to people that are soundly founded. Jefferson said a nation that expects to be ignorant and free expects what never was and never will be. And probably your listenership probably has a much higher level of understanding of these principles of liberty and proper government than the average American. But the fact is, the average American have got to be brought along. And I guess that's maybe our charge, is if you understand the baseline principles, lovingly teach them to your kids and grandkids. Reach out to your extended family. Bring your friends into this thing. Bring some sense to this and quit trying to just kind of stick our heads in the sand. And we can't be belligerent, angry people about this, because it pushes a lot of people away from the message that we're trying to convey. We've got to do this. You know, the old saying, what would Jesus do? I mean, it's something like that. I know people say it all the time. Well, how did he teach? He taught with gentleness and meekness and love unfeigned and kindness, and he was patient and long-suffering. And honestly, we need to reach out to people and in the most appropriate manner teach these principles, use our inspiration from on high to help them come to this, because goodness knows this nation desperately needs a renewal of these foundational principles. And I mean, that's kind of what I've tried to say I dedicate my life to. We're out trying to promote these things day in and day out, and there's people that are listening. There's others that won't, but maybe they'll come when things get down the hill a little further. They might say, wait a minute, I heard something about this once. Where can I go to learn about it? And maybe we'll be able to get some converts, hopefully, before the sun sets on this nation.
Kurt?
What do you want me to comment about, Sam?
Whatever you want.
About the secession?
No, whatever you want.
You know,
you can talk about
the
opportunities that Scott provided for solutions. You can talk about...
You know, and I agree when it comes to, you know, so many people in America, we look at this situation. Hey, what would make America greater? You know, and the bottom line for me is a return to what made it great in the beginning. But at least right now, it seems like so many times the whole focus of everyone is to somehow try to fix the Titanic that's, you know, out of control by just rearranging the deck chairs instead of saying we've got to simply return to the things that worked in the first place. I don't know what else to add.
You're right about that fact, Scott.
Sam,
Kurt, he's right.
This return to the foundation, this idea, let's go back to what made us the greatest, freest, strongest, most happy, most prosperous, most respected nation on earth, that happened when we instituted the principles of the United States Constitution. We didn't go out and stick our nose in everybody's business. We had real sound money. We had the idea of a godly nation that remembered their creator. All of those things can be restored. We've still got them. The problem is we've got people now that are saying, oh, they're violating the Constitution. We've got to change it. Totally, totally illogical. It's completely a perversion of everything and lacks intelligence. And the idea that all of these things boil down to is they're violating the Constitution, so we've got to change it. That's nonsense. Let's go back to it. You don't change the marriage vow if somebody violates it. You go back and recenter on it. You don't change the Ten Commandments when somebody violates it. You go back and recenter on it. We just got to go back to the foundation that made us what we were at one
point. I agree with that. Now, to Kurt's point, though, look, there's a lot of people that are just trying to find the best solutions they can, and it's a matter of opinion, and some want to basically have a con-con, others want to just secede, others want to nullify, and some just simply say, well, all we got to do is abolish the states and give complete power to the feds. I mean, after all, they're funding everything anyway, and, you know, and so everybody has their own viewpoint about the best way to solve the problem, right, Kurt?
Well, that's what it seems like, and yet... I don't know of anyone who, you know, in my opinion, if they're a real student of history, if they really were asked, hey, would you take a return to constitutional principles espoused by and encouraged by our founders? Would you, you know, would you expect an America like that would be a great place to live? I don't think anybody with those real basic principles understood could argue that, well, no, that wouldn't be the place for me.
Yeah, it's a good point. Ladies and gentlemen, it's going to be a tough road to hoe, though, and I submit to you, no matter what plan you believe could restore America or make America great once again, I will say this. It starts with morality in the people, Scott.
No question. The Constitution was only written for religious and moral people, so said John Adams. And we, as a people, need to go back to that foundation. I mean, look to the God that created us. Look to the God that gave us this great nation. And it's only been in the last several decades, certainly in our lifetime, where we have abandoned those things almost wholeheartedly. I mean... You look at the Supreme Court decisions, you look at the legislation, you look at the egregious actions that are just cutting the legs out from underneath our looking to God. Our God now is a government, unfortunately. We have a civil religion, much more than we have a deity.
There's no doubt the thou shalt not have any other gods before me or no idols is a big component to the problem with the morality in the people today. Kurt, final word?
God bless America, and thanks to good folks like Scott Bradley for showing us the way today.
Amen to that. Thanks for being alongside with the ride. I pray for all of us and pray that we make wise, good, honest, moral decisions that will restore the Republic no matter what options we choose. No doubt, it's a brain trust for discussion. We can restore America, ladies and gentlemen, with the grace of the Almighty. This nation shall endure.